Please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. I'll be reading Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, the word of life and truth. And Lord, as we meditate on your word further through the preaching of your word, Spirit of the living God, convict our hearts of your good and pleasing will for us. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ajia Sing Nian Mong En, a blessed new year to you. God's grace and blessing to your family. How has your Chinese New Year celebrations been? Okay? You all look a bit puzzled, huh? Well, for me, I was enjoying watching some repeated movies as I was preparing today's message. And one of the movies that I was watching is Justice League. Huh? And there was a particular scene that stood out for me. Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, all the superheroes gathered together and they were having a conference, and they came to a consensus that they did not have enough power to defeat or to fight a supervillain. And they realized that there is only one person who can stop Stephen Wolf and his invasion, and that is Superman. But then there is a problem. Superman was killed in one of the previous movies. And so in Justice League, the superheroes were trying to resurrect Superman. They know that only he is the only way to fight the evil forces and restore hope to mankind. Nice movie, very entertaining, but unfortunately, Superman don't exist in our real world, isn't it? But we do have someone who we know have risen from the dead. And his rising from the dead proves that he has power to overcome sin and death, the forces of evil, our greatest enemies. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. But however, do we believe in this message that Jesus has risen from the dead and he has the power to transform my life? Do we believe so much that we also want to share this life-giving message to people around us? You know, perhaps we are not sharing this message because we have failed to be concerned for others around us. Or maybe we are just afraid of the rejection or the people may say unkind words to us. And we are worried what our family members or our friends, that they may feel uncomfortable about it. Now, our passage today, as we heard just now, tells us why we should share the gospel message. And there are three reasons from this passage that we could derive why we should share the gospel. Number one, the gospel has the power to transform lives. Second, Jesus is the only way that God has provided to save us. And thirdly, we can share this message because we can depend on the Holy Spirit to empower us to share the gospel. Now, first of all, let's look at the events that lead to this confrontation that we heard just now between the disciples and the religious leader. And we got to understand the background in chapter 3, why the disciples were finally put to trial, they were arrested. Well, in chapter 3, something remarkable had happened. And the incident captured a crowd's attention in the temple, and people were filled with wonder and amazement. Luke tells us in chapter 3, there was a man who was lame. Lame means this man was disabled in his feet and in his legs. So, and all his life, he has never been able to walk. And so we can imagine that most of his life, he was probably lying on the floor. And this man has been in his condition since birth. And every day, someone has to carry him to the temple to the only job that he can do, and that is to beg. This man, the lame man, was a beggar at the temple. Now, one day, this man looked up to Peter and John entering into the temple and tried to beg from them. Now, Peter looked at the man and said this, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." No clutches, no wheelchair, no operation, Peter took the man by his right hand and raised him up. And then the remarkable happened. Luke records for us, immediately, instantly, his feet and his ankles were made strong. The man stood up. Not just that, he was jumping for joy. Now, can you imagine the joy and the commotion that was happening? For 40 years, this man was lying on the floor, and now he could stand up and walk. Now, not only the man was probably hysterical, a crowd, as Luke describes, was utterly astounded. They gathered around the disciples, wondering if perhaps the disciples have some divine power. But Peter made it clear who is the one that healed the man, and it's none of their doing. So in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says, "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So the man was healed in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter began to proclaim the gospel to the people in chapter 3. Basically, God has raised Jesus from the dead. The healing proved that Jesus is alive. However, this good news didn't sit well with some people, and that is the religious leader of the day. And so Peter and John were confronted, and they were arrested by the religious leader. And that brings us to our passage in chapter 4 today. And in verses 1 to 22, it tells of how the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to transform lives, and that is one of the reasons why we should share the gospel. Now, if you look into verses 1 to 22, Luke, the biblical author, shares with us three exhibits, or what I can put it, three evidences of how the gospel is transforming the lives of people. And exhibit number one, it is the man who was lame, the man himself. Now, in verse 7 in chapter 4, the religious leader questioned the source or the power that Peter and John was healing this man. By what power and what name did you do this? And the apostles repeated once again, "Let it be known to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, God has raised from the dead, and by him this man is standing beside you." Now, Peter basically tells the accuser that the healing was done in Jesus' name, and God has raised Jesus from the dead. Now, can you imagine the leader's dilemma at this point of time? What's going through their mind is probably this: Jesus? But didn't we just nail him at the Roman cross about a month ago? Is this Jesus? Isn't he dead and buried in a tomb? How can this Jesus be alive? But then the healing in chapter 4 is not a common flu or someone with a fever. This is an instant healing of a man who has been crippled since birth. 40 years. How do you explain that? And the miracle happened in full view of the people, in public. And so if Jesus did not raise from the dead, how can the lame be healed? Dead gods cannot heal. So the only response that these religious leaders could give is in verse 14, which is basically, they had nothing to say. They are dumbfounded. the proof was standing beside the disciples. We see in this passage that the Lord can demonstrate his power in our life through extraordinary means. The miracle of the healing of the lame man, is one example. And he certainly can work in a miraculous way in our lives today. I remember a few years back, I was visiting Reverend Chung Kiat's father in the hospital. And Reverend Chung Kiat's father was an atheist for all his life. But then at the hospital, he had a dramatic vision of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I was talking to him, the father shared with me how he came to believe Jesus through that vision. And he was an atheist all his life. But from that encounter, he believed in Jesus Christ. The Lord can still work his miracles in our lives. The healing of the lame man is one example of many in the gospel. But more often than not, the gospel has the power to change our lives through the simple sharing of God's word and the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts. And Luke shows us in exhibit number 2, something else is happening in this passage. Look at verse 4. And Luke tells us in verse 4, many of those who heard the word believe, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. The message about Jesus' death and resurrection was also moving among the 5,000 that was hearing this message, and they came to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, if we include the woman and children, there'll probably be more than 5,000. But then what exactly is this gospel message that was transforming the lives of people? Earlier in chapter 3, Peter proclaimed the message as simple as this, that the message, the gospel, is about God's forgiveness. It is about Jesus rising from the dead and calling people to turn back to God. And this simple message was moving and convicting the hearts of people. Exhibit number 1, the lame man. Exhibit number 2, the 5,000. Exhibit number 3, that the transforming power of the gospel is also seen in the apostles' life themselves. If you look at verse 13, the religious leaders were astonished by the transformation in Peter and John. Look at verse 13. They were astonished when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men. And they were astonished. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were uneducated and common men. Probably didn't even have their PSLE. But they could stand boldly in front of this religious leader and tell them that, look, you got it all wrong. And the only conclusion that the leaders could come up with about their boldness and their transformation is in verse 13. Very interestingly, they had been with Jesus. Now, there's an important application that we can make here about sharing the gospel. Perhaps some of us think that we need to have a certain status or certain education or a certain knowledge or talent before God can use us. But verse 13 highlights that it is not so much about what we can do or what we have. It is the Holy Spirit working in and through us as we walk closely with Jesus. And if God can transform fishermen to fishers of men, then he can certainly use any one of us. The question is, are we willing to be used by God? Are we willing to be God's instrument to transform lives around us? The extraordinary healing of the lame man, the 5,000, the disciples' life demonstrates that the gospel has the power to transform lives. And it also shows that God does not need very talented people to do his work. He can use you and I to transform lives with the gospel message. Now, there is also a fourth evidence of the gospel transforming life, and that is you and I. You know, I have the privilege every year to read, to hear, and to edit testimonies for Easter and Christmas. And as I look at these testimonies, I'm always very encouraged by the transforming power of the gospel. There's a brother who shared how knowing Jesus helped him from struggling with addictions to victory in Christ. A sister shared that how life was purposeless for her, chasing after money and pleasure, and she found the ultimate purpose in loving God and loving people. From an impatient and violent, quick to anger teenager to a slow to anger and more patient and understanding. That's in another brother's testimony. From fortune teller to a child of God. Suicidal, attempted suicide, to a life in Christ. From arguing a lot with parents to prove I am right, to humbling myself, showing God's love to them. These are some of the testimonies, some of the snippets that I capture. From a proud, no regard to others, to broken and humbled by God's love. This is another sister sharing. From self-centered, lazy cheater to someone who puts others' needs before self. Each one of us have experienced the power of the gospel. Perhaps not in very dramatic ways, but in some ways, if we look back into our lives, we too have experienced the power of the gospel. And what this tells us is that, you know, as we count our blessing of what God has done in our lives, there are also many others who are also still struggling with this brokenness, or without hope. And they will struggle unless you and I share the gospel that can transform their lives. So we share the gospel because it has the power to transform lives. We also share the gospel because Jesus is the only way God has provided to save us. And that is something that Peter emphasized in verse 12. He tells us that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, salvation is a big word. What does it mean? What is this salvation that God has for you and I? Now, the word salvation implies that we are being saved from something. So what is it that we are being saved from? We all struggle with sin and in a broken world, and sin comes in different forms and shapes. We sin in our actions, we sin in our thoughts, we are by nature very selfish people, we hurt others by what we say or what we do. Sin is also giving in to temptation, living in an addictive lifestyle that is not congruent with what God has for us and contradicts his word. Sin is when we think that we do not need God and we do not need to be accountable to him. Now, sin in the Bible is not just doing the bad things. It is also when we fail to do what is right in God's eye. When we ignore people in need, when we fail to show mercy, when we forget to be fair or take care of the needy, we also fail according to God's standards. And the Bible tells us that there is a cost to sin. If God is holy, then he must deal with sin, including ours. And based on God's standard of holiness, the penalty of sin is death. That's what Romans tells us. We all fall short. We cannot reach that standard. But God's salvation, the word salvation, and the message of the gospel, which is closely related, is this: that God loves us so much that he sent his son as the payment and the ransom for sin. So Jesus' suffering and the cross is not a failed mission. Peter tells us in chapter 3, that is part of God's salvation plan to free us from sin and to bring us into his kingdom. And to receive God's salvation means to stop believing in whatever we believe and to accept the only way that God has provided, and that is through Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us there is salvation in no one else, for no other name in heaven and on earth has been given to us. Now, in my interactions with pre-believers or newcomers, one of the common belief or conversations that we have is people will tell me, you know, all faith are the same, all religion teach the same thing. Some people believe that there are different ways to God. One more is better. Now, we may share the same moral and ethical values, but as verse 12 highlights to us, that God has only destined one name by which we can be saved. And that is not something that the church decided. This is something that our Lord Jesus himself also say, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that tells us there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. No person, no methods, no practices can bring us an inch close to God. Only Jesus is that worthy sacrifice and came from God for the payment of sin. And only the resurrected Christ can transform our lives. Some people also find it offensive to say that Jesus is the only way. But let's think about it this way. You know, as parents, we dare say that no one can love my children, your children, more than anyone else. After all, the parent is the one that gave birth to this child, raised the child, nursed the child, made all the sacrifices. But if the child rejects you and acknowledges someone else as his father or mother, how does that make us feel? Who is this stranger that is trying to take my child away? Of course, we will be burning with jealousy and anger and great concern. Any responsible parent has the right to be jealous over their children, especially if there's a stranger that is trying to turn the child away from you. Now, if you look into Exodus, it tells us that God is a jealous God. He is jealous over us, his people. And he has a right to be jealous over us. He's the one that created us. He's the one that sent his son, Jesus Christ, for us. And he would not let stranger take us away from him. And your Heavenly Father knows and provided the best way for us to come near to God, and that is through his son. The gospel has the power to transform life. And we hear that Jesus is the only name that God has provided for us to be saved. So what should be our response to the gospel? Now, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, then the Lord invites you to respond to him, to accept his invitation. And the amazing news, and the passage highlights to us, is this, that despite their guilt, the crowd who rejected Jesus, despite even crucifying him, Peter proclaimed that God's forgiveness is for them. And Peter tells them that if they would repent and turn to Jesus, God will wipe away their sins. And that is the good news, the amazing news, that despite how we have messed up our life, if we are willing to turn to Jesus, God can forgive us. Now, for believers, there is something that we can also respond by looking at the attitude of the disciples. The religious leaders threatened the disciples, Peter and John, not to talk about Jesus anymore. But their response is this: we cannot but speak of what we have seen or what we have heard, and we rather obey God. Peter and John's response tell us that sharing the gospel or the message or their testimony is a matter of obedience to God, and they would rather obey God than men. And where did Peter and John get their courage and their enablement from? If you look at verse 8, it highlights to us that the disciple, Peter, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's an encouragement as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we tell the wonderful news, we can trust the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. Now, there are many opportunities that we can depend on the Holy Spirit as we share the message, the gospel message to people around us. And one of the initiatives that we came out as a church is Lambs for Christ. And it basically, as the acronym tells us, it basically means, L means to look out for someone who is someone that God has placed in our hearts to reach out to. It could be a colleague at work, a friend in school, or a family member. A means to ask God, which means to pray. Pray for the person and pray for yourself. Pray and ask that God will fill us with the Holy Spirit. M is to makan with the person. The idea here is to have fellowship with the person, have a meal together, or do an activity together to get to know the person. And not just to stop there, at certain point, to proclaim the gospel as the opportunity arises. And S is to share your story to encourage others so that we all can be encouraged by what God is doing through the lives of the people around us. And so as we celebrate this Lunar New Year season, as we visit our family and friends, I'd like to encourage us to keep this at the back of our mind, to be lambs for Christ. Now, this year is also a very significant year for the churches in Singapore. The Presbyterian Church, as a denomination, along with all other denominations and other churches, are coming together in prayer and to reach out. We are coming together on this project called the Celebration of Hope. And the message that the organizers are proclaiming is Christ is the one name in which everyone can have solid hope. And it's all accumulating towards a gospel rally on 17 to 19 of May at the National Stadium. Now, you receive the brochure with the details. You can go online to check it out. There's also evangelism training. But I'd like to draw your attention to the postcard that you receive. It is called the Andrew Initiative. Now, the idea is taken from Jesus' disciple, Andrew, who, having heard about Jesus, the first thing he did was to tell his brother, "We have found the Messiah." And there are five names that we can fill up. So who are these names that God has placed in your heart that we can start praying and be lamps for Christ to this person? The gospel is a very powerful message. It can transform life. It can do wonders. It also transforms our lives. And there are people around us who are still living in that brokenness and who have not known God. And our passage today encourages us to be bold as we trust in the Holy Spirit, to be lamps for Christ, and to share the gospel as we depend on the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Perhaps some of us here have yet to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you hear the message of God's salvation, if it's your desire that you say that, "Yes, I want to believe in Jesus Christ," then can I encourage you to pray along with me? "Lord, I acknowledge that I can only be saved from my sins through Jesus. I've done many things that have not pleased you. I live life only for myself. I ask, Lord, to forgive me and believe that you died on the cross for me. Thank you for the promise of eternity with you. Lord, take control of my life. And from this day forward, help me to live every day through the help that you will give me to please you. I receive you in my life." For some of us who have received the gospel message, this is the power to transform lives. Who are the people that the Lord have placed in your heart as you listen to this message? Who are the people who are suffering in brokenness and need to hear that the power, the gospel, has the power to transform their life? Who are the people that you are burdened for? Will you submit these names to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and the reminder of the power of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you fill us with boldness, love, and sensitivity, Lord. Make us your messengers, Lord, to a world that needs to hear the gospel. Your family and friends, Lord, who have yet to know you. Help us not to just live within our own comfort and own circle, but from the example of the disciples, Lord, to be obedient also to share your word. For we know that when we do this, Lord, we don't do it alone, but your Spirit will fill us to enable us. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.